It's Monday, May 5th, 2025, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today, we continue our studies in Matthew chapter 11, listening to part one of a message titled, Much Given, Much Required.
He is not the sentimental American version of Jesus that so many nice, non-offending, effeminate, that so many have come to worship. What Jesus is saying here is that in cities, in kingdoms, in countries, in nations, in places, judgment comes in accordance to the light that is given.
And now, here's Pastor Chris.
I invite you to turn to Matthew, first Gospel, New Testament, Matthew chapter 11. We are concluding our reflections on this chapter as we're working through this book. And today we come to verses 20 through 30 of Matthew chapter 11. Context again being Jesus addressing the ministries of him and John the Baptist and the reception of those ministries by these certain cities and these masses of people who heard it and did not respond. And this becomes so helpful and instructive for us to understand that we might respond to the Lord's gracious call that is here. So beginning at verse 20 today of Matthew chapter 11. Then he began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more bearable on the day of judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you that it will be more tolerable on the day of judgment for the land of Sodom than for you. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who are labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. There ends the reading of God's word. Well, beloved in the Lord, we have been studying, working through Matthew's gospel. And even for me as a pastor, I'm sometimes, as I come to the next section, startled by the words of Jesus. He is not the sentimental American version of Jesus that so many nice, non-offending, effeminate, that so many have come to worship. Jesus is very direct. Jesus at times is very combative, isn't he? Our Lord has been doing wonderful things in the ministry, which is remarkable to study throughout Matthew's gospel, taking this great authority and reigning and showing that great reign, speaking of things, showing the good news of the kingdom has been preached far and wide in these regions. He has helped all kinds of people with healing and sicknesses. He has carried their burdens, Isaiah 53. But all of this had an aim, didn't it? All of this had a purpose, didn't it? It was the mission of Matthew, right from the beginning, which was said, you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That has to happen. Well, how does that happen? Well, for that to happen, he is calling people to come to him for eternal life. For that to happen, he is calling people to repentance and faith, isn't he? This has been emphasize, these are the first words out of Jesus' mouth. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm here. I've arrived. I've come to this earth. Turn to me. Turn back, O Israel, to me. This is all over. We looked at this. But there was a huge problem in Israel. We've been finding in chapter 11 is that many of them weren't even listening. At the ministry of John the Baptist, they like the power of it we looked at last time. They like the strength of the words. They like the zeal of the followers. They thought the kingdom would come by force and strength, but they didn't like the message. And Jesus said, you didn't listen to the message. You think he was doing this? You think he was just a reed shaken by the wind? He had an aim. He had a purpose. And then Jesus spoke of himself in the ministry, and you guys all said, the Son of Man come eating with tax collectors and sinners, and you said he's a drunkard. You didn't listen. Well, Jesus now finishes this thought today. We looked at that all last week. He finishes the thought on the issue, and what he does here is really fascinating. He's explaining the just judgments of God, why they are justified in this age. But in the midst of this, what makes this so overwhelming is that even though we're, again, first looking at the house of Israel here, before the gospel will go out to the nations, it would first go to Israel, and then when they rejected it, which Romans tells us was in the plan of God, the gospel would go to the Gentiles. But here in the middle of this, he raises his voice to Israel, and he says, come to me. And I will give you rest for your weary souls. It's such a beautiful call in this Gospel of Matthew we're going to spend a few minutes on. But it's important today because I think it's intended, as we study it as Gentiles, to make sure we're not behaving like Israel did with the gospel, right? We who have had all this blessing, we who have had all this added benefit, if we look at the people of the Escondido URC, you look at how blessed, how much you've had, there should be a challenge as to what you've done with it so that we don't fall into this error. And you should be able to walk away from this sermon saying, I've come. I've come. Or I haven't. And there comes a sobering message for those who don't come. I want to consider Jesus' just judgment here, his explanation, and then his call to receive deliverance. So that's what we're looking at here, the just judgment. He explains it further, and then he gives a great call, sort of the center of the book in many ways, a call to receive deliverance, since Matthew's gospel is the most Jewish of all the gospels. So we begin today at verse 20. Then Jesus began to denounce the cities where most of his mighty works had been done because, notice this is the heart of it, they did not repent. The old King James, which is interesting, I grabbed it for family devotions. I was caught by the word that's used here. Then he began to upbraid their cities. I just like the word. It just has such a powerful sense to it. It's a justified scolding of the cities. He is going after them. But it's startling, really, this upbraiding of their cities because they did not repent. This is why we read Lord's Day 33. And you can go back and consider, if it's any confusing to anyone, you can go back and look, well, what is repentance? That's why our confessions and catechisms are so helpful. They help us define terms, don't they? This is how Jesus began his ministry, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn back to the Lord. Turn from your sins. Humble yourselves with contrite hearts and come to me, the Savior of Israel, and I will abundantly pardon. That's Psalm 130. We sang. These calls go out all the time in the Gospels from Jesus. But you remember the context here. To what shall I liken this generation? They are like children playing in the marketplace. They have the level of children playing in the marketplace. They played the flute and they would not dance. They played a dirge and they would not be involved. They would not mourn. They are never satisfied. They were always complaining. They always found a way to be critical with the ministries. Now think about this. the ministries of Jesus and John. So if Jesus himself had put up a building and had a church, he would have a steady dose of people walking out complaining about it. That should affect us and to make us think, if that happened to John the Baptist and Jesus, how are we receiving the ministry? And what would hold us back from receiving the ministry? That Jesus, he's hanging out with tax collectors and sinners. He's a drunkard. They were always looking for something to pin on him so they wouldn't have to come. But all these mighty works had been done. It's a marvel in the previous section what he mentions. He raised the dead. The gospel was preached. Remember last time, go tell John, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Blessed is he who's not offended by me. Those are wonderful things, beloved. I mean, what else do people want? They saw the works, and they were so hard-hearted it didn't matter. They always found an excuse not to come. Well, that's instructive because that's what drives Jesus' warning now, his woes, his prophetic woes. In the line of Old Testament prophets, the fulfillment of the prophets, the prophet here. So now he singles out three cities that had been there, three cities where the majority of the populations had come out to hear him, three cities that he had done mighty works in. He went into their cities and he himself did mighty works in those cities. Most of the great works were performed in Capernaum, which was sort of home base for him. But then these two surrounding cities are mentioned here too, that he pronounces prophetic woes on, curses on these cities. You'll notice, woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida, in verse 21, for if the mighty works had been done in you had been done in Tyre and in Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. Now, that's a pretty combative thing to go after cities. Did you see the energy last night in L.A.? The Dodgers? Can you imagine hearing Jesus stand up where everyone is all pumped up for going after New York? You will be brought down, O L.A., because of all those churches there that I put there. And all that gospel that was preached, there's no repentance. You get a sense of how offensive that might be, but people love their city, don't they? I mean, I don't know if you love Escondido, but you should, because you're here. You know, Escondido's an interesting place. It's better than the Valley. Our Lord is taking this pretty seriously. Think of all their history in the cities. Chorazin was a few miles north of Capernaum. Today it's gone. Bethsaida was in the plain of Gennesaret. Jesus adds, Capernaum, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You'll be brought down to Hades, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, what a comparison. It would have remained. Sodom would still be here if I went and did the works that I did here. This particular city is so hard-hearted that had I gone and done this in Sodom and Gomorrah, where the angels were trying, remember, the angels were trying to pull, they pulled out Lot and had to rescue Lot because of the gross sexual immorality and because of the idleness and the wickedness of it. Had I gone there, they would still be here. That is stunning. We have to spend a moment here, don't we? It's a striking contrast that the Israelite cities here are in comparison to the Gentile ones. Tyre and Sidon were Gentile cities in Phoenicia and were powerful places throughout history of Baal worship and all kinds of materialism. but little light. And Sodom, you know, as we mentioned a moment ago, was full of all kinds of problems. Ezekiel doesn't just outline the sexual morality, it outlines the idleness of the society. Everything was idle, nobody was working. In those places, little light was given. The only light Sodom had was righteous Lot, and God held Sodom accountable. Here we are in Israel, three cities that Christ himself came to, okay? That's what's marvel about this. That's why he's emphasizing this. And he did all these works in front of them. He did all these works. The people of the cities refused, after seeing the dead raised, the sick healed, the gospel preached, good news given to them. What else do they want, right? This is why he was saying, what do you want? You don't like the song? Good news. Healings. And no response. Now, it's important to think about for a minute. Here are cities. Entire cities are spoken of as under judgment. Does God judge cities? Well, we have to think. It's not so much that he's judging the entities itself. What Jesus is saying here is that in cities, in kingdoms, in countries, in nations, in places, judgment comes with accord in accordance to the light that is given in a place. Now, Romans 1 says, everyone is without excuse just by what's made. You're going to walk out into this beautiful theater today. You could go down to the beach and see the, you know, they say astronauts, when they get up into space and they look down at the earth, they're disoriented because they see we're all in this little tiny ball concealed in this ball, and they can't process that. You go out in this beautiful theater. The oceans have their limits. The birds are singing early in the morning. The beautiful formations in the sky. All that's without excuse. But the Lord, here in Matthew, is showing us that first the gospel would go to Israel, and his intention was to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It was the Lord's intention, while this world is still going, is because he's evangelizing all the nations with the gospel. The people groups, all the peoples. In some places, that light is way brighter. In some places, more has been given. Here, all the citizens seem to have rejected Jesus himself. This is God. And Jesus is saying, the judgment's going to affect the whole city because of this. He's marveling. Jesus is almost marveling that such works could be done in Israel with all this blessing, with all this resource, all these works, and a revelation of God in his Son, and no repentance. So woes come. You guys will be brought down to hell. Now, that's the last message we ever hear anymore. But it's an important one. Do you guys think? How many people think they're going to heaven? Nobody worries about it. And Jesus says, do you think so? You think you're going to heaven, Capernaum? You're going to hell. Whoa. Stunning. The day of judgment is according to the light given. Jesus taught this everywhere. That servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating, but the one who did not know and did what deserved a beating will receive a light beating. Everyone to whom much was given, of him much will be required, and from him to whom they entrusted much, they will demand the more. So if we understand the principle, God did all these mighty works in Israel. He first went to Israel, and now the Son of God was sent to these cities, and these cities saw all these marvelous works and rejected it. So according to the light that is given, the judgment's meted out. Here the gospel would eventually go from Israel to the Gentiles for this reason. And that's why there were parables that saying, listen, if you're not going to respond, I will take the kingdom and give it to those worthy to receive it. It will be received. So this is the principle that we have to appreciate up front. The principle applies across the board to nations, to cities, to institutions, to schools, to churches. It's the principle of to whom much is given, much is required. Take our land. Not arguing whether a nation is Christian here. That's not what I'm doing. I recognize that in a great nation, some nations receive great light. Freedom. Freedom to worship. People in communist China marvel at such freedom over the years. Freedom to have the scriptures. Freedom to come up to the Lord's house. Freedom to read without persecution. Freedom to go and speak without persecution. With all that knowledge, have the peoples turned to Christ? In different times you've seen response, sure. But I suppose we should just ask in our day. Has the trampling down of what is moral and the destruction of marriage and greed and abortion, injustice, but then to have the gospel preached so freely, to take that light and to reject it? Jesus says, the judgment on this greater light will be greater on that situation than those who had none or little. And what's going well right now because of it?
We're all out of time for today, and as always, we thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. We hope you'll join us next time for part two of this message in Matthew chapter 11. Until then, may the Lord bless you and keep you. To learn more about us, visit agradio.org. That's agradio.org. There you'll find a variety of resources, including our weekly podcast, which airs Wednesdays at 7 a.m. Pacific on YouTube, Spotify, and X. You can also access past radio broadcasts, blog articles, devotions, and additional sermons from Pastor Chris. For updates and news, be sure to join our newsletter, available right on the website. An emailed newsletter is still one of the best ways to stay connected with an organization. If you'd like to get in touch, the best way to do that is through social media. We're active on X, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, and more. You can find all the links to our profiles directly on our website. We also have a contact email that's questions@agradio.org. That's questions@agradio.org. So if you have a question or feedback or you just want to connect, we'd love to hear from you. After all, we are looking to build a community of active listeners who share in our passion for sound biblical teaching. Abounding Grace Radio is a listener-supported ministry, and your financial support is vital to helping us continue this work. Faithful partners like you make it possible for us to share the gospel every day. If you've been encouraged by what we do, would you consider partnering with us? You can do that by visiting our website and clicking the donate button to make a secure gift of any amount. We're preparing new resources and outreach opportunities to help spread the gospel and strengthen the community of listeners. It's the generous support of people like you that make this all possible. Have a praise report or a word of encouragement? We'd love to hear it, and so would our listeners. Just grab your phone, record a 5 to 10 second audio clip, and send it to us at media@agradio.org. That's media@agradio.org. By sending your clip, you're granting us permission to use it on the air. It's a simple way to share what God is doing in your life and maybe even hear yourself on a future broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We're excited to hear what you might have to share.
Abounding Grace Radio and many of our guests on this program are affiliated with the United Reformed Church of America. If you find yourself in the Escondido area, you are invited to attend worship where Pastor Chris Gordon is our pastor. We're located at 1864 North Broadway in Escondido. Morning service begins at 9:30, adult Sunday school at 10:45, evening service at 5 p.m. Visit escondidourc.org for details and direction. That's escondidourc.org. A reflection of the United Reformed Churches of America, we at Abounding Grace have an emphasis on supporting local churches that are in concert with the URC. One of our churches can be found right here in Ventura. Ventura Reformed Church is located at 78 Chrisman Avenue here in Ventura. Our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. with our catechism class starting at 9:30. Details, directions, and further info can be found at christreformed.org. That's christreformed.org.